Blog Talk Radio.
Linda?
I'm in here, hon.
Eventually, I tried to talk Stacy and the older Katie into becoming topless dancers. Stacy said, hell no, I'm too fat. She had lost quite a bit of weight since high school, but still had a bra size of 40D. I'd had a little bit more luck with Katie, who'd also had a baby since high school. I'd swore it would be so much more money than her humiliating job as assistant manager of Hot Dog on a Stick at Metro Center Mall, where she wore a polyester rainbow-colored uniform with a hot dog-shaped derby hat and had to make lemonade by hopping up and down on a pogo stick mixer. She thought being a cocktail waitress wouldn't be so bad until she made it all the way into the dressing room and became visibly uncomfortable in the presence of the dancers changing their costumes and painting their nipples with the liquid latex required of all topless entertainers by Arizona state law.
King Fuzz, great fucking track. And of course, you guys are listening to the Draconia Vampire Tunnel is closed for repairs because we're late and because we drink, because we pass out, because we drop 10 pounds of metal on our feet in the process of getting the show started. But we're here, and we got a lot of great stuff for you guys tonight. Got a little bit of Booker T. Jones. You guys might remember him from a group called Booker T. and the MGs. We also got the Return of the Glitch Mob, the Mohawks, Slybots. I don't know, man. Maybe some Egg, maybe some Riz Ortolani, maybe some Bertie Cops. I don't know. We got a lot of shit. A lot of great stuff. Great surprises coming up. Since we are running a little bit late... go ahead and jump right into things. I'm going to bring you guys in tune with a little band, DJ called Magnetic Man. Name of this song is called Crossover. Number to call in, of course, as always, 805-856-2808. We'll be right back. crossover, and that was for a couple electro sharks I know by the name of Bud Smith and Aurora Kill Poet. Crossover, motherfuckers. Deep shit, man. I love that. Really, really appreciate the dubstep on this show. And of course, there will be more of the Magnetic Man, as well as other dubstep all-stars to come. I don't know, man. If you guys are like me, you might be like me. Probably not. I don't know. But if you're like me, you dig Lauryn Hill. And although I was not going to bring Lauryn Hill on here because she is a reputed racist, evidently, I brought Booker T. Jones. A little bit of, I guess it's a cover. He decided to, you know, substitute Lauryn Hill's voice with an electric organ. The song's called Everything Is Everything. You guys may have actually heard this song a lot during the summer of 2000 or 1999. I don't know when that song was really popular, but it was all over MTV. Booker T. Jones decided to mix it up, take things on a different level. Here it is. Everything Is Everything. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
of a Catholic priest and a messed out prostitute who was adopted by charismatic Christian fundamentalists. One day, he told them that Jesus is really a Jew.
And that was Booker T. Jones with a cover of Lauryn Hill's Everything is Everything. After winter, must come spring. Change it comes, eventually. Everything is everything. Man, I should totally have William Shatner do that song, I think. It'd be great. Fucking A. William Shatner, stop worrying about Pussy Riot songs. But you should be worrying about Pussy Riot songs and start worrying about Lauryn Hill songs. Motherfucker. Anyway, yeah. Got some other stuff going on. I brought the Glitch Mob for you guys last week. I thought they tore the fucking house down. So I decided to bring them back. Have them build it back up. This is the Glitch Mob. Name of this song is How to Be Eaten by a Woman. Ooh. Gives you the chills. Glitch Mob. Right here. Draconian Vampire Tunnel is closed for repairs. We got 24 minutes left of live streaming, so of course, number to call in 805-856-2808. This is your Project U news feed for Tuesday, August 14th, and Wednesday, August 15th, 2012. Brought to you, of course, by Literary Underground. You guys can go to www.theliteraryunderground.org for all your information about Draconian Vampire Tunnels, your mother's medicine cabinet, as well as I go in your radio, or my radio, maybe, I don't know. Today's news feed is actually about happy fucking endings, November 3rd, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Box Improv and Performance Theater, downtown Albuquerque. You guys, please be sure to come by if you're in the neighborhood. It's a free show, free to the public. Got some great people on the bill, like John Swain, Paul Coleman Roberts, Lynn Alexander, Ann McMillan, Zarina Zabriskie, Shell McDaniel, Brian Puget, Lindsay Thomas, moi? I don't know. I might read. I might just fucking throw popcorn at everybody. And wait for November 4th to roll around, which is Mothpocalypse reading at the Harwoods Arts Center. And that is actually on 7th and Mountain in downtown Albuquerque. That is from 5 to 7 p.m. You guys definitely come by there and check out some people like Richard Vargas is going to be there. There's rumors of Tim Murray making an appearance at some point. I'm looking forward to that personally. Love Tim Murray. Good guy. So definitely come by and check that out. In the meantime, I'll give you guys a little something to, I don't know, a little something to think about when you're thinking about Moths, you're thinking about happy fucking endings. I think about the Mohawks sometimes, and this song is, this is them. This is the Mohawks. The song is called Beat Me Till I'm Blue. You guys, right here, Draconian Vampire Tunnel is close to repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Hey, we'll be right back.
Hello, YouTube. Before I curse this little pussy out, I want to remind you guys to rate, comment, and subscribe. Hope you enjoy. Let's get it on, you little fuck. Okay, bitch, come over here so I could slap you with my dick, you son of a bitch. Don't you got your mom for that, you dick face, you son of a bitch. At least I don't have my dad give me blowjobs all night long. That is some fucked up shit, wow 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 wow. And by the way, I killed both your parents last night while they were having sex. What the hell is wrong with you, you little jerk off? Fuck you, dick face. By the way, your mom is too old for sex and your dad got tiny dicks. Don't forget to subscribe to Chris's channel. I'm
A lawn chair and a $2,000 Pioneer stereo system, he is very glamorous to me. Sam was a year and a half older than me, and months after my parents forbade me to see him, my stepfather said, "I know the district attorney. We'll have him put in jail for 5 to 7 years. I ran away with him to Northern California. Of course I would find out I was pregnant only shortly after we moved in with his mother, stepfather, and half-brother. He was very happy about the pregnancy, and there was never any question that he wanted me to have the baby. Unfortunately, he was 20 when our daughter was born and had a tendency to drive recklessly. His parents drank a lot and liked to do crack at a local bar next to the train track, which was aptly named the Railhead. They often fought with each other and with Sam. The fights between Sam and his stepfather were always quite loud and on the verge of a fistfight. 2 weeks after the baby was born, I called my mom. She had been waiting patiently for her prodigal daughter to return home, so she bought me a ticket before I changed my mind that same day. The last time I saw Sam alive was at the Sacramento airport. The next time I saw him, it was after the cremation. He weighed about 10 pounds and fit into a small cardboard box.
Warriors on the Sly, Sly Boots, the name of that track. Oh, man. Woo! We'll call that, like, acid jungle. Yeah, acid jungle. With a little bit of trip-hop thrown in there for good measure. I like that. It's kind of like a triple-decker shake. Or, like, I don't know, Shark Week. Fuck it. Fugue in D minor, which is actually a Bach. What? It's a what? Bach? Is it Bach? It's Bach, right? Sebastian Bach? I don't know. Some, like, classical dude wrote this song called Fugue in D minor. And I've actually got a cover of that. Another cover starring the electric organ. If you guys haven't figured out by now, I have to say the electric organ is probably my favorite instrument. This is Egg with Fugue in D minor. Draconian Vampire Tunnel, it's close to repairs.
Adopted. Sometimes I forget that I'm half adopted on my birth certificate and that my mother is adopted. My father's family, however biological, is too distant to provide a valid point of reference to the question of who am I. After we moved away from Chicago, there were only two visits in 18 years with Grandma and Grandpa McLean. The last time I saw Grandpa McLean was at Grandma McLean's funeral 9 years ago. I went there hoping it might help me to inherit some money someday, and to meet my mythological Uncle Bill and any other important biological relatives that might help me understand my genetic identity. Uncle Bill was an ex-con crackhead in the shame of that side of the family. For years, Dad would say, I'm not sure if he's dead or in prison. We haven't heard from him for a long time. When I met him, I instantly diagnosed him with fetal alcohol syndrome. At less than 5 feet tall, he was even shorter than my tiny World War II Triple Ace fighter pilot grandfather. I thought that this was very strange in a country where each generation seems to be taller than the previous one. He has a smooth philtrum, a thin vermilion, small palpebral fissures, and the tiniest digital phalanges. When one of us was partying too hard, my brothers and I used to say to each other, "You're going to turn out just like Uncle Bill." We could become crackheads, IV drug users. We could even go to prison and end up with hepatitis C. But short of a partial leg amputation, none of us would ever be shorter than 5 foot tall. The interferon treatments worked, and after a long time of being out of touch with the family, he is doing much better now, and much better than I am financially. He owns a truck and trailer from which he operates his landscaping business. He lives in a mobile home he owns outside of Orlando. Dad says Uncle Bill is extremely hyper, almost deaf, and they keep the volume of the TV and his voice at 10.
Alright, egg all over your face. That was Fugue in D minor. Really, really dig that one. And, you know, I feel bad about being late earlier. I was probably like 10 minutes late or something like that. So, you know, I kind of feel bad. So I thought I would end the regular hour of the show with, I hear you, 90 seconds, with the, I don't know. How about some Riz Ortolani, just to make things up for you guys? What do you think? Yeah? Is that good? Is that going to make us good? Oh. You know what? Yeah. Maybe it will. This is Riz Ortolani. This is En Tocasi Bili. Or, shit, I can't even say that right now. En Tocasi Bili. Fuck, it's Italian. It's Mr. Cliff, intolerable Mr. Cliff, Riz Ortolani. I'm too stoned to be saying some shit in Italian right now. We'll be right back. Montalani, La Intoccabile, which I have no idea what the fuck that means, but it's Intoccabile, Mr. Cliff, and it is from the movie soundtrack, which I believe has the same title. Hells yeah, Riz Ortolani, man, that motherfucker always makes me jump, always gets me pumped, always gets the blood boiling. If you haven't heard him by now, you know, dig through the archives, there's some great stuff on here. Coming up next, Bertie Cox. The name of this song is The Signal, and it's coming right here. Draconian Vampire Tunnel is closed to repairs. We're just kicking it, man, it's Tuesday night, and yeah. Be right back. We'll be right back. least I hope it's more apparent to you now. I am a child of the whole rave club generation. That one goes back out to a lot of homies back from, I don't know, the way back, KY back. A lot of guys out there that were in the rave scene, a lot of girls out there in the rave scene in the Louisville central area. A lot of great memories from that period. So, I don't know, man. I'll throw some shit out my way. Out to you guys. Yeah, fuck it, man. I used to go to raves. I don't give a shit. I'll admit it. Fuck. And if you weren't there, then you probably weren't invited. Shit, fuck you. Nah, I'm just playing. I wouldn't say that. Shit. Where do you go from there? Where do you go from, like, a hot-ass song like Bertie Cox, The Signal? How about Sasha? Another, I don't know, androgynous European name. Sasha. Please, help me. Mr. Tittles, this is the name of the song. Name of the crime is, I don't know. You tell me. Right here. We'll be right back. Thank you.
line in San Andreas Iztapa. Maybe I expected to get off the bus and find the Santeria church in the town square, but instead, everywhere I look, I only see half-starved dogs and horses. As if nothing is wrong with the place, there are kids playing and people eating ice creams and getting haircuts in the barbershop.
I think the crime is probably straying too far from home in that situation, and that was the situation maybe for Mr. Tiddles, of the name of the song. Name of the artist, of course, is Sasha. I'm not sure if that's a dude or a chick. Oh. We'll have to research that. I'm going to get the Draconian Vampire research team onto that. Zachary Thax. It's a garage band from the late 60s. You guys may have heard the song, you may not. The name of the song is Face to Face. And hopefully you heard it here first. Draconian Vampire Tunnel, close to repairs. Yeah. Be right back. Some dank. And I think it is, actually. This is Birdie Nom Nom. Name of the song is Jazz It At Home. You guys have been listening to the Draconia Vampire Tunnel. This is Close to Repairs. I've been your host, DJ Frank Flash Metro. And, yeah, we will catch you next week.
Et au clavier, Monsieur S. Moss, s'il vous plaît. Encore, encore. Un peu de bruit pour eux quand même, s'il vous plaît. Thank you.
pity blast obsession with tabloid journalism slowly lost its edge. She became more fanatical about history documentaries and Nat Geo. She learned to enjoy reading again, and after perusing the contents of The Devil's Teeth by Susan Casey, she became enthralled with shark attacks. Casey's description of the Farallon Islands, only 20 or so miles offshore from her studio apartment in San Francisco, the oily Crisco smell of dead elephant seals at dawn, and Casey's documented 17-foot female specimens, or the sisterhood, Betty, Mama, and Cadillac. Kim thought nothing strange about it when she found a finger or two thumbing around her panty line while reading further into the book than was probably warranted. But when it took longer than expected for her to come after overcoming any apprehension, she grew curious about an incident she'd seen through a neighbor's window. Electrosex had never been a consideration beforehand, but the couple across the street were not shy about their enthusiasm with the fetish. The girls were very playful and giddy while applying the self-adhesive pads to each other. The white wires glistened from the glint of sunlight through the third-story window pane. They took turns with black blindfolds and holding the switch or pressing the button. Kenny thought back to a quote from The Devil's Teeth, "Every angel is terrifying," by Rainer Maria Rilke, before closing the book, shutting the blinds, and crawling into bed, alone. When she first bought it, the beginner's e-stimulation kit was a moderate success. It provided a new sense of sexual empowerment and identity. She was brave enough to swim the electro current. The self-timer safety shutoff was a buoy in the middle of unfamiliar waters. Soon it became a shark cage in the middle of a frenzy. The wires were like 3,000 replaceable teeth. EMS pulses burned away unwanted calories. High-five waveforms taunted every nerve of the pelvic floor. She could smell the blood on their breath. She'd throb for the last bite of the lip. She saw red, but it was more of a velvet tincture. She thought of Devil's Food Cake on page 117 of the book before she laughed hysterically with release. After a month or so of use, the sensations dulled once again. This time, however, instead of trading her new vice for another, Henny Black upped the ante, purchasing a set of Rimba electro breast clamps for an indiscreet store in the neighborhood. There was no safety measure included with the warranty, but Henny felt confident she had surpassed the point of naivety with such devices and only felt the wanderlust of electro sharks in her veins. She had become more aware of her emotionally mediated synesthesia, associating all colors of the spectrum with a deeper sense of meaning. The pinpoint whites in her vision just before the onset of velveteen splash tasted like chocolate in her ears. She could smell the noise of 3,000 tessera layers ripping away the prey in her mind. Henry was so engulfed with these thoughts on the walk home, hike upstairs, the drudge down the hall, and the race to the bedroom, that while connecting the color-coded wires to the breast clamps, she was careless in assuring both positive and negative plugs were correctly mounted. Black was only the dull space between the front door and the shark cage. Red was the only way out.